The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. On earth, nations in agony, bewildered by the clamor of the ocean and its waves, men dying of fear as they await what menaces the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand erect, hold your heads high, because your liberation is near at hand. Watch yourselves, or your hearts will be coarsened with debauchery and drunkenness and the cares of life, and that day will be sprung on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come down on every living man on the face of the earth. Stay awake, praying at all times for the strength to survive all that is going to happen and to stand with confidence before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. The first reading from the prophet Jeremiah reminds us of what God had planned to do for his people Israel, and what he did do. He would restore virtue, honesty, and integrity in their land. Israel would eventually find salvation and gain in confidence following repeated infidelity to the covenant relationship God established with her, leading to captivity in a foreign land. This would happen through the royal branch of David, specifically by Jesus, the eternal Word of God made flesh, the Messiah and Savior. The Messiah came to liberate Israel and all people from sin and death, to reconcile and gather all peoples to God through his passion, death, and resurrection. Jesus said that the fruits of this liberation would all come to fulfillment at his second coming in glory. This second coming of Jesus is not to be experienced as something to fear or dread, despite some of the unsettling images that have been presented to us today in Scripture. Rather, Jesus urged his followers to anticipate and expect it in an attitude of watchfulness, alertness, prayerfulness, and with confidence. We don't know, of course, when Jesus will come again and in the manner described, but he is continually present to us in all manner of ways, in his word, the sacraments, and most especially the Eucharist, and also in other ways. But in order to receive the Lord, we have to welcome him into our lives, into our hearts, here and now. The problem is, we tend to put many obstacles in the way of God. The one way of understanding sin is that sin is simply getting in the way of God. The obstacles have to go. We have to want God to enter into our lives. God will not enter our lives if we don't want him to. When we do allow God to enter into our lives, another difficulty we might then face is that we also tend to be selective as to where in our lives we will allow him to gain entry, much like choosing which departments will allow a visitor to have access in our office block and where his entry is strictly forbidden for whatever reason. We need to cultivate then generous hearts and offer those departments, those areas of our lives which we're reluctant to hand over to God. St. Paul, in the second reading, urges and appeals to the Thessalonian community to make progress in the kind of life God wants them to live, a life of love and holiness. Love and holiness must permeate all the areas of our lives too. We need to be thinking about letting go of our obstacles and hindrances, those things we may be excessively attached to, and begin to surrender them now, even if it's hesitant and very gradual. At least it's a start. So I would suggest that this is a good way to prepare for Advent, a good way to prepare the groundwork for inviting the Lord into our hearts, mind, and entire lives. The more we cultivate an attitude of generosity to God, an attitude of trust and prayerfulness, the more likely our fear and dread of Jesus' coming will melt away. What may then emerge is more of an attitude of confident faith before the Lord, as we say, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus."